All right, welcome back to Transformation Train. This is Matt Tucker, and I've got Andy Techmeyer here to talk about what's not being heard. And given the political climate that we're dealing with here in the U.S., we thought it'd be a great time to have a conversation about that. And we've got a few questions we've written down. So we're excited to talk about this with you guys.
Yeah,
and, totally. And share some insights, and we've already been kind of bantering back and forth a little bit.
Exactly. And I just want to say really quick, you hear a lot in the United States, freedom of speech, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Freedom of speech is great, but if there's nobody to listen to what everybody wants to say, it doesn't really go anywhere.
Right.
So this conversation is to balance that out, right? There's obviously a lot of people trying to say a lot of different things. And there's this, I know I can definitely relate to the experience of not being heard.
Totally. I can too.
Yeah.
I think everybody at some level, in some point in time of their life, whether it's current, in the past, or perhaps even in the future, would have an experience of not being heard. And maybe we jump in with that as to discuss what it's like, first of all, to not be heard in the experiences you have with yourself and in a community or in multiple communities. So, I mean, for you, Andy, what's it like, or when's a period of time in your life where you weren't being heard? What was that like for you? And when was it?
I mean, it's funny because it's been an ongoing experience, right? Mm. It's something I feel like I'm quite sadly comfortable with.
Mm. So hold on. So you've got an ongoing experience that you're quite sadly comfortable with.
Yeah.
Being heard.
Yeah, because I think if you take... The thing that matters to you, maybe turn that down a touch. If we're talking about the thing you don't care about, then you don't talk about it. It's not a big deal. But yeah. If there's something you feel like your life is about, or if you feel like there's something that you know and have some education on mm-hmm. and can make a difference with, and you go to share that with somebody, and then I'm left, whether of my own accord or by somebody else, with the experience of that message was not delivered,
mm-hmm.
it's extremely painful.
Yeah.
And I...
when you talk about extremely painful, where do you actually feel that?
I feel it in... It's interesting. It's like if I'm actually in a conversation and in the midst of expressing myself and not being heard, there's this energy in my chest, there's pain in my chest. It's like there's something that's trying to come through me, but it can't. So it gets stuck. And the weird thing is it's sort of this energetic thing. And because there's another person involved, I pretty quickly get angry at them.
Yeah.
Right? They're the source of this. I've just got this beautiful, loving thing I want to share with you, and you won't accept my gift.
Mm.
And then it's like, and then but I'm left dealing with that. And then it usually amplifies because then I'm mad at you. I make it your fault instead of effectively expressing. And what's interesting is in talking about this, I get present to, do I know what the message is?
Mm.
You know, what if they're actually getting what I'm saying, but mm-hmm. I don't get what I'm saying.
Okay.
Right. Because that's the other side too is what comes up for me when we were talking about this, or when we get into the questions of and given the political, there's a lot going on in terms of responsibility of individuals, and there's these different conversations about sexual assault and leadership, and who's responsible for what, even
yep.
though everybody's responsible
yep.
for themselves and making the difference they want to make.
Yep.
And I don't have a lot of background in that. I've sort of shied away from that because I was so afraid to violate somebody.
Yeah.
And then I've just been fortunate that I've not been wrongly accused of something.
Yeah.
I've
been the perpetrator of some kind of assault.
Exactly.
And not necessarily physically, but emotionally or mentally, right?
Well, and that's the other thing that's interesting is looking at it from, right now the law is a physical thing. It's not, you can say horrible things to somebody mm-hmm. and you're not necessarily going to go to jail for that.
Right.
But I also think I've done a pretty good job of being a pretty kind person. And generally the thing that people get upset with me the most is that I'm not saying what's going on for me. And it actually makes a lot of sense of no wonder I'm not being heard.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not expressing it, I can't be heard. But what I was going to say is, like, where I had felt, you know, with our first question, like, this first became a thing for me in my mid-20s. I'm 37 now. I was caddying professionally, and we would make mistakes on the golf course. And it's funny because I see right there, I said we would make mistakes. The reality is I made mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'd get done with a round. The player would want to give me feedback, and I felt wrongly accused.
Yep.
Because she would say, you did this, this, and this, and it cost us, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it out loud, but in me was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Where's the pat on the back? How about good job today? You tried as hard as you could. Yeah, we failed, but what about the positive side?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I lost jobs over that because I could not be with the feedback. If the feedback wasn't positive, but I also wasn't responsible for that, no matter what you said to me, I was going to listen to it negatively,
mm-hmm.
because I was already so self-critical that that's actually what caused the problem. Like, if I could just be present and had the guts to say, no, you're not going to hit that club, hit this club. We can't risk that. Or if we're going to risk it, it's going to be 100% on you. So do whatever you want, but like, don't blame me.
Yeah.
My two cents is on this situation. But I didn't do that. I was like allowing them to make mistakes, not speaking my truth. And so it's actually really great to have people keep you in check and say, whoa, where are you at?
Yeah.
But it was painful. I mean, I cried. I lost, like I said, I lost jobs. And I felt alone. To me, that's the worst part about it is the sense of like feeling alone in the world. Especially like when you're on a team or something, or you're around people, and because of that disconnect, because of that misinterpretation between two people, they're there, but they're not there at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's like, for me, that's what it was like. I mean, what's, you know, for you, what's in life when you, it's like when you're experiencing not being heard, what's that like for you?
That's a good question. Thanks for asking. You know, I think it's similar to yours. Like, I have a pain in my chest or frustrated. Like, I feel anger.
Mm.
Like you're not getting me. You're not getting what I'm saying. And there's not a connection here. And I'm standing for us to have a connection. And you're, like, refuting what I'm telling to you. Like, sharing with you. And by you refuting that, it's like, you're like, it's either I feel diminished or less than or unvalued, if you will.
Yeah.
And if you were valuing me, you would see what I'm saying. Or at least be willing to comprehend, not comprehend, but like get what I'm saying.
They go together, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And to be, it's almost like being dismissed, like, yeah, you don't matter. Like there's like an experience, like you don't matter. Yeah. And if you have the experience of like, I don't matter, or I'm not valued, or I'm not part of the team or not part of the group, then it's like.
But I love too what you said right there, because I think that's the whole thing about not being heard. Like I said, if what you're talking about literally doesn't matter, you don't care if it's not heard.
Yeah.
But you share something because it matters, and for somebody to respond in such a way that you feel like that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like, it makes me want to scream. Like, I don't know, or like, there was the video the other day where it's, and I can relate to this. Here's another thing of like, when I was in my early 20s, I was working at this golf course, and this guy that I worked with, who was a really fun guy, but I could see where like I judged him unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just be in the golf shop talking, and then I would say something to him and he would respond and I wouldn't feel heard. And then I'd start talking louder.
Yeah.
And louder and louder. And then after a couple minutes, he'd go, be quiet. Like, why are you yelling?
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize, but I was raising my voice to make up for, you're not getting what I'm saying. Right? It's almost like, there was a movie I watched the other day where this person, they'd said to a friend, oh, my friend is deaf. And then they start talking sign language, and the guy says, oh, that's so great, because usually when I say they're deaf, people just start talking louder. Which is so silly, because obviously a deaf person, but it's interesting how visceral it is, and because it matters, I'll just put more force. I'll put more force into the message and see if that works.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's interesting how that doesn't. And then all of a sudden the experience of like, I don't matter is... Now, what's interesting though, too, is like, do you ever say that?
What do you mean?
Like when you're sharing a message and then there's the experience of not being heard and the experience is that it don't matter. Do you then say, you don't matter about, you don't think I matter?
Oh, I've never said that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's like we're having a podcast and there's going to be a long pause. And I was like, well, we should keep talking. yeah. But like, that would be an interesting thing
to say,
to speak. Cause that's all. It was funny. Cause like when you and I were looking at this, one of the other things we were talking about was truth. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And my best take on truth is like my experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know is true. But based on my experience, which is like, that's a weird thing. But if you and I are having a conversation and I share something,
mm-hmm.
and I don't feel heard, and my truth is that I think that you think I don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
How come I don't say that?
Yeah. Cause it's probably not, you're not present to like the languaging of it. Like their experience of like speaking the experience is probably what we'd be missing. Like the acknowledgement of I'm feeling like I don't matter, I need to say it out loud.
Exactly. Being responsible for the communication of that message. Because generally what happens is like as soon as I'm not heard and like I start getting angry and I raise my voice, pretty quickly too, I'm pretty good at biting my tongue and like not saying something. Mm-hmm. But in my head, the other person is causing my upset.
Yeah.
It's very hard to look at it from like, well, how do I repackage this message and see if they'll accept that delivery?
Right.
There's a sense of like, I just go to like, what are you, stupid? Like, you don't know how to listen?
Yeah. Like, it's like being, well, you would have an experience that people are stupid, especially if you have something important to say that you noticed.
Well, and also I like to think I'm a pretty well-spoken person.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I say it and you don't get it, it's like, there's that old movie with Bill Murray, it's called Lost in Translation. But it's like, you understand English, I'm speaking English, what's the fucking breakdown here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so great, but it's like, but that's what we're speaking to and sort of looking at. Why I love this inquiry is, it's funny how it's such a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the breakdown right now. It's like if two people cannot have a civil discourse and really understand each other's point of view,
mm-hmm.
how are we going to create a society that works for all of us?
Yeah.
If we cannot talk as two calm, confident, educated human beings, whatever our background is, because you don't have to be a PhD to do this. I'm a college dropout.
Yeah.
And I love practicing listening to someone who has a point of view that's hard for me to get.
Yeah.
But to me, that's why we're doing this. It's like, it's your and my expression of like, okay, cool. We're trying to make a difference here, sharing our side of it and starting with sharing our own experience and then looking at, I mean, my thought too is like once you start to unpack this, is like to start to be responsible for, oh, I'm the one, I have needs, and I'm not expressing those needs, so no wonder you can't help me. Like, because it's what's interesting too is like inside of this whole being heard, one of the things I notice is like, for me, because you know how I mentioned right away that I feel like I have a very long friendship with this concept of not being heard or not being listened to.
Yep.
And then starting to see like, what is it I get from that? Because as much as I say, as much as I condemn it and say, oh, this is horrible and this horrible affliction I have to deal with, that people don't get me and I'm not understood and I'm not valued and whatever that comes along with it,
mm-hmm.
is like, but seeing like something only sticks around because it serves some purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you look at my fridge right now, there's the foods I like to eat, not the foods I don't like to eat.
Yeah.
I don't have the things I don't want.
Right.
So, and that's where it's like getting like, oh, there's some like, this is actually a really old sort of pattern for me. Of like, I don't know about you, but I was an only child.
Yeah.
And my parents got divorced, and then my parents were working, and I came home from school, and I was by myself primarily.
Yep.
And I, you know, it was like, didn't talk to my dad a lot. I talked to my dad sometime, and my dad's, I said to my friend the other day that when my dad pays me attention, he gives me his full attention. He just doesn't do it very often.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, it's, you know, but like, seeing like, oh, I just sort of learned early, like I learned, I had this idea of like, what I say doesn't matter, mm-hmm. so I might as well just keep my mouth shut.
Interesting. So then that's the funny part is we talked earlier about, like that you said something in a text message earlier about talking a lot.
Yeah, today, right?
So can you... As your friend looking, you know, from a world of transformation that we've developed in, do you think part of your being as a 37-year-old male and somebody that talks more frequently, let's say...
With you.
With me. Do you think that has something to do with a relationship that you had when you were younger with your parents and, like, your dad and talking to your dad?
Not necessarily my dad, although that's an interesting perspective. But I will say... When I find somebody that I feel like is actually listening, that's when I start talking.
Yeah. And I also want to share inside of this conversation about that, that my relationship to other people, I have an experience of the people I sometimes get close with or people that frequently talk to me more. It's like I am a conversation about their dad.
What do you mean you are a conversation about their dad?
Meaning, obviously I am a dad.
Right.
And I feel like a very loving one. So because I have that beingness about me, I attract that kind of listening or people that want to have an experience like that with their own father.
Yeah, so for me, because I was going to say the reason why I noticed this happens is like, and I was going to say this before we started the podcast tonight, that I feel like I just had this epiphany that the first half of my life was... I have it that I'm a good listener.
Yep.
And I've realized that as good as I think I am, there's always another level to get to.
Sure, sure.
So I realized that, like, if 37 is the first half of my life, I hope to live to at least 74 years old.
Yeah.
The first half will from now on be known as the period of my life where I pretended to listen.
Okay.
And now this period of my life is where I will practice actually listening. But then that's also part of the dynamic is like, you could look at my father, you could look at my mother. Cause I would say too, as much as this is a father thing, it had a lot to do with my mother was also an alcoholic.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So as much as she was there, she wasn't there and there wasn't a lot of space for listening.
Sure.
So I sort of like, for me, it just became, well, I'll be the one, I guess, to listen.
Yeah.
I guess I have mental space to get what someone else is dealing with. And so...
You took leadership inside of what was missing as a child, perhaps.
I wouldn't even call it leadership. It's kind of like you play the cards you're dealt.
Okay.
And, but then how that shows up is when I'm around somebody who can relate to that or found themselves in a similar sort of... Like, I don't know exactly what your thing is, but I think you have a similar thing where you... like to be the person who, because I also consider listening as leading from behind.
Okay.
Whereas the speakers, you're leading from the front.
Yeah.
And so, but I also think that's why you and I met in the leadership program we met. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we've already practiced leading from behind, but also in a world where as men, and men are sort of valued for their ability to lead from the front.
Yeah.
And yet I haven't been practicing that skill, but sure. I want to be validated as like a man. And I want to like especially because I've been listening for so long, I actually know some shit.
Yep. Yep.
So then, but then I'm around and I sort of take advantage of you listen to me. Like you actually listen to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
okay. A lot of times it's very educational.
Exactly. Well, and that's the funny thing is like, so Ashley, someone I've dated for 4 years is like, she doesn't always have space,
mm-hmm.
but when she listens to me, she affirms me. Like, she says, oh my God, you're so smart in what you're saying. And yeah. I actually have the experience of, like, first of all, I open up and share, but I'm also not left hanging.
Yep. You're validated as a man.
Exactly.
Yep.
There's a sense of, and not even as a man, but just as a person whose thoughts and ideas and perspectives on the world are as great as I think they are.
Yeah.
I'm not left with someone else arguing or disagreeing with me or saying, not just not even getting the message at all. Just jumping into whatever their
something
point
relatable
is.
To.
Exactly. Like, and that's fine. I don't mind listening to your perspective. But if you're going to say that you're going to listen to me, listen to me.
Yeah.
And also, like, with what happened when I was younger, because I also noticed, it's funny that this is coming up, but there's a sense of, like, a lack of trust. Because also, I sort of test it out. It's my game with people. Yeah. Like, I'll say some stuff, and if you're not paying attention, I learn really quick. Like, I feel bad for my friends that listen to me talk a lot. I hope it's at least educational for them. But
I did validate that earlier, by the way.
You did. But I often worry about that because I cannot tell you how many people, I think I hold some record for 3 hour plus conversations on the phone, like with multiple people. And they'll say, yeah, this is really great. But I'm also left with, they're sort of like, I think it's pretend listening.
Yeah.
It's kind of that listening I had when I was this first half of my life, that it's great and it provides something. But I'm also realizing, like, let's bring some rigor to it. Let's bring some efficiency to it. Like, if there's something you want to get, how about I just give it to you and we move on?
Like, sure.
We don't need to talk for 3 hours.
Right.
I don't really know what talking, like.
Well, here's to relate to the conversation about our podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
About what's not being heard.
That's great.
First and foremost, do you have the experience of being heard in this conversation right now? With the podcast, and if so, what's that like? And if not, what's that like?
I often, it's interesting because with you, there's a sense of.
We'll make sure it's we're relating to this.
Yeah. Okay. Because but so it's now there's a sense of being heard, but there's also, oftentimes, I would say there's a sense of like 50-50.
Okay.
Like, but I also think that's why we're friends. Is like 50% of the time. Now the weird thing is, I would even say I probably talk more than 50% of the time.
I would agree with that.
And yet I don't feel heard more than 50% of the time.
That's interesting. Okay, that's probably accurate too. Like, if I had to look, there's probably a few things I've missed before. Then I'll have to ask you to rephrase it or restate it, because I'll be responsible and say I missed something. Right. There's plenty of times I can sense that I was like, I might have checked out for a moment because I had something that distracted me or something, right?
Right.
Okay. And so for this conversation, in this podcast, for what this podcast is about being what's not being heard, do you have an experience of being heard?
Yeah, because for me, 50% is pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Because for most people, it's like 0 to 1%.
Okay. Now, I want to relate this to
what we opened with. Well, and then for you, I'm curious.
Okay. All right.
This podcast, but also since I said the conversation we have, like, what's your experience?
Well, I haven't shared as much.
Okay.
But the parts that I did share, there was a listening for, and we opened that up and talked about it. So yeah, I can say there's being heard. And then obviously I haven't shared as much, so there's still room for that to be talked about.
Okay.
So there's that. And then relating to what we said at the beginning, and particularly around the subject of politics and what's going on right now, and like some accusations and these things that are happening, and relating it to gender, you know, obviously we're both men, so, but we've been willing to try on some other perspectives and look at what it would be like to not be heard as the other gender, as a female.
Well, and also before we jump to that, just getting, like, in this last week or two, you and I, you've shared some stuff with me that actually gave me some insight as to your experience.
Yeah.
Because there's like, you've gone through some things that I haven't. So even though we're both men and we can share that experience, there's specifics to how the world has gone for us that I can't, like, and I'm sort of curious to try to, it was actually really helpful for me for you to share that with me.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden it was like, oh, now I get, like, that's what's been missing, because I haven't been listening from the perspective of you've gone through that stuff.
Yeah.
I was actually listening specifically for you haven't gone through that stuff.
Yeah.
So it was no wonder that I couldn't get you, because I kept listening to, how can you keep talking about, like, you don't understand.
Yeah.
And then you share, and I was like, holy shit, you do understand.
Yep.
And I don't. Like, yep. So I really should be quiet and listen.
Yeah.
But that's where it was almost like, thank you for finally saying something.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that that was in the space, you know?
Yeah. Well, do you want me to share about that, or is there, or?
Well, it kind of goes to, like, you know, it's like we were sharing about the accusation, right?
Yeah.
Being wrongly accused.
Yeah.
And I think I would love to hear it, and I'll preface it by this, right? There's a lot we haven't talked about the specifics, but if anybody who's on Facebook or watches the news knows that there's a lot of stuff going on with the Me Too movement and sexual assault and men dealing with that, men in a leadership position. There's talk of, like, white privilege and white men taking advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
And but I actually saw a meme the other day where women are speaking up about this. And then a woman had posted this meme that said, well, where are all the men that are being wrongly accused of rape? Oh, we haven't heard from them because they don't exist, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting is, because of our conversation, I knew right away that was a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not actually creating space. There's women are not. And I'm not faulting them. I'm not saying, like, that they should be able to do this thing. If you've experienced trauma and you have not gotten support for that trauma,
mm-hmm.
that's the first thing you should do.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't. I'm not saying go on Facebook and say, "Hey, men, who's out there who's had to deal with this?" and da da da.
Mm-hmm.
And but also don't stoke a fire you don't want to deal with.
Yep.
And so it was because I was like, because I knew that you had shared something about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I knew that if you just shared it, even if you just shared it in the most diplomatic way,
yeah,
somebody was going to get triggered by it.
Yep.
And then, especially on Facebook, it was going to turn into a shit show, because that's what happens on Facebook.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
So it's like, this podcast, I think, was a great way for us to begin this discourse and potentially add more people so mm-hmm. that we can actually get it out in the public. But I think it would be, I would love for you to share your experience, because you've actually gone through a real life being wrongly accused of something. That's not like you stole a cookie from the cookie jar, or, you know, like when I was a kid, I shoplifted. I was not wrongly accused of that.
Yeah.
This is where, like, I've always owned up to the shit I did.
Yeah.
But you got accused of something you did not do, and it was a very serious accusation.
Yeah.
So if you're okay with it, I think it'd be great for people to know what that is.
Yeah.
But also just to remind you, because I don't know if there is certain things you can and cannot share.
Well, there's no legal discourse, I think, that can happen at this particular moment in time.
Okay.
And if there is any legal discourse, and I obviously... I'm only sharing from the perspective of, like, vulnerability, not to undermine or devalue anybody that I would talk about in this conversation, including myself.
Yeah, just share your own thoughts and feelings.
But my own thoughts and feelings, and if it does come to some legal public thing that, because of my share, like, I just want to know, like, the people that I will share about, the people, like, my sharing about this, like, it literally comes from a place of innocence and literal vulnerability of just talking about something, because I think it's important for people to have themselves be heard. Both
totally.
Men and women, and all aspects of life that are really important. And to talk about this is, it's, you know, obviously there's a lot of animosity in the media right now and in humanity, especially in the U.S., even across the planet. So, you know, I was falsely accused of rape during college as an athlete. I was also somebody that testified for Kobe Bryant up in Yale County. And that was a really uncomfortable situation because of, you know, I did have sexual interactions with that woman, and how it came about. I mean, it's like, how much do I actually share, or do I be general about it and just get to a point? But when I was accused of rape, there was a gal that we weren't in the same grade, but we went to the same high school, and it was during college, and we did have sex on my parents' front yard. back in Colorado, and I had some friends over, and we were all drinking and partying and having fun, and she and I started making out on her front doorstep, or her parents' front doorstep, and, you know, obviously it got a little hot and heavy, and then we went in front of, on my parents' front yard and had sex, but we were kind of covered up by my parents', like, front yard, I don't know what you call it, a pottery thing, something that my parents did with, like, shrubs and trees, and, like, so there was trees in the way, but, I mean, from a certain angle, you could still probably have seen us, but it was in the middle of the night, you know, and we engaged in sex, and then the next day, she went home, and she told her mom, like, oh, I'm sore, like, from having sex, and she thought, oh, it's turning, you were raped, you know, like that, and then it got into this whole legal thing, and I had to go talk to an attorney about what was going on, and I wrote out my story, and I just shared with my attorney what actually happened. I mean, it all got dropped because of what was shared. I mean, my friends were witnesses to, like, yeah, they were all over each other, la, la, la. And so thank God that that went that way. But at the same time, like, to have that have actually gone through would have been a nightmare. And it was already uncomfortable as shit because...
Yeah, that's what I'm curious.
Now my parents are like, what the fuck did you... Excuse my language, but what the hell did you do?
Yeah.
You know, what are you thinking? And I'm like, I didn't do that. Like, what the... You know, like, your own... When your own parents are like... What do you, you know, like, what's wrong with you? Like, you know, as a kid, sometimes it's like, holy shit, that's hard to be with.
Yeah.
And then to have, like, friends of yours be like, what the hell did you do? You know, like, there's a disconnect now because now there's, like, judgment of, like, oh my God, you raped someone? And rape's, like, a huge allegation. Like, that's a, holy, that's, like, jail time. That's prison, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you knew that you were engaged in having sex and for having fun, and it turns into this whole other thing, that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
And it's uncomfortable, it's sad, it's disheartening, you know, it's humiliating, it's freaking embarrassing, like, this is horrible. I can't believe I've been accused of something like that. You know, and the whole Kobe Bryant thing, like, what a nightmare that was. I remember I was in spring practice, and this gal and I, that's the summer before the spring, like, Kobe Bryant's attorney came out, or not attorney, but private investigator came to our baseball field. That right at the beginning of the school year in the fall, I think it was like August, September, we're at a party, my best friend and I, and that girl and her good friend come up to me and my friend within 15 minutes. So like, hey, we should go have a foursome, go next door. Like literally like, yeah, I mean, we're in college. We're like, sec girls coming up to opera. Yeah. Let's have some fun. Let's go do that. Like there was nothing about it. Right. So we go next door and we're all in the same bed. And like, I'm making out with I can't even remember her name at this point. And then my friend Steve was making out with her friend, and we're talking about how we're going to go about it. And then the girl that the Kobe Bryant girl, her friend, like, kind of freaks out. I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this. So she and my friends, my buddy that I grew up with, I don't know if I should say his name right now, but they went out.
Leave it out.
Yeah, they went out to the living room, and the girl, Kobe Bryant gal, and I, we engaged and started having sex. And like a week later at my house with my best friend and some of my other teammates, and my best friend goes, dude, like, I think you slept with the Kobe Bryant girl. I'm like, my first initial was like, oh shit, right? And then I'm like, yeah, right. Like, come on, dude. Like, there's no way. Sure shit. And, she came over that night cause we were having a party, and I didn't ask her anything about it cause I didn't really believe it. But I was like, dude, like, she wouldn't be sleeping with me if, like, she was actually, like, in my mind anyway, like, whether or not that's actually true, like, for her, in my mind, she wouldn't be sleeping with me if she was raped. Like, you know, that just wouldn't be going on like that. And I would have, for sure, somebody would have been like, dude, it's the, you know, like, there would have been more, like, yeah, alarms going off.
Hype
like
around
this.
It,
yeah, right. More hype around it. Well, we engaged in the act again, but then it was for sure that she was the one.
Okay.
But then, like, she started sleeping with some of the guys in the baseball team and some guys on the football team. And there was two fraternity houses. Like, she was out having her fun, like, doing her thing. And, like, in my view, it was like, if you were raped, like, there's no way you'd be going out and doing this now. Whether or not that's actually true for her, in my view, that was true. And who knows what it was for her, because I don't talk to her, I haven't talked to her.
Ever, right, ever. Right, because, too, I just want to chime in of, like, that, and this is also why we're opening this up, is because it's, we only know what we know for ourselves.
Yep. Like, exactly. That, like, and the context is decisive.
Exact. Well, and then too, it's like the experience of, like, I don't know what it's like to be black in America or any other country because I'm white and I'm 6'4".
Yep.
And I don't know what it's like. So the best I can do is try to listen and understand from a mutual understanding, and it's like,
and
so yeah, so just
you know. I want to say something about that, and knowing that can also be used for manipulation. Oh, you don't know what it's like, then you can create something that isn't true as well.
But what do you mean, create something that isn't true?
Well, you don't know what it's like being white, and I can make up stories about it, and if you don't know, then I'm just going to tell you this is what's so, even if it's not true. To gather your
well and it,
your pity.
But see, but this is where, too, like, this is where the, you know, this is why we talked about this beforehand, of, like, the best I got is I could take you at your word.
Exactly. And that's all you got.
Exactly. So as soon as I, and then that's what's interesting to notice is, like, because I know what it's like when I'm speaking my truth, mm-hmm. but I feel like people aren't listening.
Yep.
So if somebody's telling me a story, or, you know, and for them it's not a story, it's their reality. This, yeah. this is what happened.
Yeah.
But my listening starts to go to, that sounds batshit crazy, dude. Like, yeah. you're getting, like, if I'm not calling things that sound like unreality out.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing, too, is I think that's the responsibility of the listener. Like, yes, I aspire to be responsible for my speaking.
Yep.
And please help me.
Sure.
When you hear something that occurs for you as crazy.
Yep.
Or unreal or falsified or made up.
Yeah.
So that I can either clarify or give you some evidence.
Right.
And say, I get it. It's, I blew my mind too. It
yeah.
seemed totally crazy, but look at, I can actually back it up.
Yeah.
So good point.
Right. Well, and so, you know, and I remember, when my dad and I drove up to Yoke County to have this conversation, there was like media cameras everywhere. I mean, like a whole parking lot full of people, you know, and it was just like uncomfortable. I'm on video being, you know, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, I mean, all the media. I'm like, I'm on camera walking through the halls before I go into the courtroom and have a conversation. It was just super uncomfortable. Like, I'm totally embarrassed because now everybody's going to see I'm on TV testifying for Kobe Bryant, and I legitimately slept with this girl, and it's like, oh boy, that's weird, you know? And I remember a girl I dated in my freshman year of college, she was working for USA Today out in Washington, D.C., and she calls at like 5 a.m., like, what the hell are you doing on television? What's going on? Like, why are you up to Kobe Bryant case, you know? And like, I had to explain to her somebody I actually was in love with at one point in time. Oh yeah, by the way, I slept with this girl. Like, I had this experience how I didn't want to tell her that.
Sure.
Because it was already, like, embarrassing as hell. Two, I didn't want to tell her that because it was somebody I actually cared about, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, sitting in the courtroom, like, it was uncomfortable. It was like, oh my God, there's Kobe Bryant. There's his staff of lawyers and attorneys and people like that, right, that I've gone and spoken to. Now the defense team or whatever, they're inquiring on me, and it was like, I had the experience of, like, there's no way she was. There's no way. Now, that doesn't mean that's not actually true, right? Because I don't remember what the end up being the verdict. I think he had to pay something, a bunch of money. But the questions that were being asked, like, I made him look stupid. I made her attorney look stupid. Like, no, here's the truth, dude. Like, and he just was like, he didn't want to keep questioning me because I was basically killing his conversation. And then, you know, obviously I walked away and that was it. But dude, it was horrible. Like, it was horrible. Like, super embarrassing. Oh my God, I'm on television for defending Kobe Bryant, who's been accused of rape.
Right.
And it's all over national news. And my face is all over national news. Super weird. And then, you know, when the PI came to pick me up, well, not pick me up, come talk to me the first time, I'm out on the baseball field, we're getting ready for practice, we're all stretching. Hey, Matt, there's this guy that looks like, you know, Jerry Garcia. He literally looks like Jerry Garcia. And I think it's your uncle. I'm like, what? What the hell's my uncle? And my uncle's a fan of Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead, right? Like, what the hell's my uncle doing up here? Maybe he's working or something, you know? So I go inside and I'm like, who are you? And he's like, my name is, I can't remember his name. I'm a private investigator for Kobe Bryant. Do you know, I think her name was Caitlin. I don't remember her name. I think it was Caitlin then. Oh boy. Yeah? Why? He goes, well, we understand that you had sexual relations with her. And I'm like, I feel like I need to get an attorney, you know? Like, I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to be in trouble. Like, oh my God, like, am I in trouble? Like, yeah, we had sex, but I didn't do anything. Like, I swear to God, you know, like, freaking out.
Well, and this was after the first accusation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's
already... It was only a few, not even probably 6-7 months after the whole incident had actually been talked about in that summer. So it was just, it sucked. It really sucked. I was embarrassed, like, hey, Matt, who's that? And I had to tell my coach what was going on. And then, of course, the team found out. So now I look like some kind of freak show, like, oh, dude, I can't believe you slept with that girl, you know, like that. And it just was like, it was a shit show. It was a total shit show. And I felt bad for Kobe because in my mind, there's no way. Dude, like, if that was actually so, why would you go just make rounds with a whole bunch of people up at UNC?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. And I felt bad for Kobe because I also know, and when you're a college athlete, you have what's called jersey chasers. And what we refer to them as somebody that wants to get with the guy that has a jersey because he's an athlete. You know, they're all over the media, whatever college you're going to. And like, if you're a big name or, you know, something like that, everyone wants to hang out with the star. I mean, it's kind of how it goes at that level. And, or, you know, somebody that could be a star, somebody that's going to go to the next level and like a way out of the hometown, like UNC is a small town, you know? Mm-hmm. So a lot of athletes deal with that as accusations. And a lot of athletes are highly sought after because of that. Like, they're making money for the school. It's Matt Tucker, pitcher for this. He's going to be a starting pitcher for this game, and you need to come check this game out. Or, you know, some big-name football player at a big-name school like USC or, you know, Texas or something like that. Because you're in the spotlight, everyone wants to be hanging out with the star. Who doesn't want to hang out with the winner? Do you know?
Yeah.
So, and it got weird. It was really weird. It was really horrible. I remember the day that the girl that I told you about that accused me, I was at a summer baseball game, and I'm sitting in the dugout. My dad comes over and says, get your fucking ass over here. He goes, did you sleep with that girl? Did you fucking rape her? I'm like, what? What the hell's going on? What are you talking about? Did you know you're being accused of rape right now? What?
Hmm.
And my dad's just wailing on me. He's like, you need to keep your dick in your pants, and just going off, dude, like, bad.
Hmm.
And it was just like, oh, dude, I didn't do that. Like, and then, like, you know, a man's relationship to his father is like a very sacred bond.
Right.
And to have your own father, like, ripping you to shreds about something that's not true.
Right.
That's horrible.
Right.
And then you got your teammates. Now they're like, I don't know if I can hang out with you, dude.
Well, and so I have a... I'm curious, were you ever able to speak? Did you talk to her again, the woman who accused you?
No, pretty much we stopped hanging out. I was like, I don't know if I should be hanging out with you with these accusations, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I don't need that. And she was a nice girl. I think she was going through whatever she was going through in life and probably needed attention of some kind, and sex was the way to get that, maybe. I have no idea. And I actually, in the long run, I actually felt bad for her because I'm like, dude, now your name is totally effed. Whether it's true or not, everybody's going to know.
Yeah.
And and that's the other part of the conversation, particularly in politics now, is, you know, people who don't want to hire you because they're afraid of, like, if they make a mistake, are you going to say something?
Yeah, exactly.
And now she's blackballed in a way, even if it isn't true or is true.
Exactly. And that's what's so frustrating about the whole thing is, like, none of us are proud.
Yeah.
Like, none of us are happy with what's happening. And it's like, to ask that question, you know, and I just want to give you a chance to share, because it's like, yeah, you're sharing what you went through. But I also feel like whether we're conscious of it or not,
mm-hmm.
that's part of the upset that you're dealing with, is yeah. that person, like, when I look at my life and I find myself in situations that I'm not proud of, I didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And, like, I was doing some messed up stuff, whether I knew it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, like I said, when I was a kid and I got caught shoplifting, I'm glad I was an early starter on that stuff.
Get it over with soon?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Because I remember the first time I got caught shoplifting, it was in a drugstore, and they, you know, this woman catches me and my friend out front, and then she's like, okay, I'm taking you back so you can talk to the pharmacist, because mm-hmm. he was like the boss. And the funny thing is, I lied to him, because he goes, do you have anything else? And I said, no, because I felt like that would self-incrimination would be even worse. But I also took all the money I had in my pocket and I put it on the counter. So I sort of felt justified, like, well, that pays for what I had already taken and eaten, and it pays for the box of candy cigarettes I have in my pocket that I just lied to him about. But he called my parents, right?
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, you're too young, I'm not calling the cops, but I am calling your parents. And then that bike ride home was horrible because mm-hmm. I knew. Now, the funny thing, my parents were pretty lenient on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm grateful that I learned that through this process. But I also, that's the other reason why I'm so curious to have this conversation is like, as much as that impacted you personally and how traumatic that was for you to have to go through it,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it also shaped you in terms of your aspirations for leadership and this, like, you know, how can I help people so that, I mean, and even if it's a lot of it is like, we're, you know, I want to help people so that I don't have to deal with crap. But it's like, that's great. That's a great reason. Like, how do we create structures in our world where, first of all, people are taking actions they're proud of?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, you know, I've had sex with people without being married, having been raised in a Christian background.
Sure.
There was guilt and shame.
Totally.
And I wasn't accused of rape. Like, it was bad enough.
Yeah.
Like, if I'd have been accused of rape, it's like, I don't even know, times a thousand, times a million.
Yeah.
But that's the other part too, is like, how do we start with you getting a chance to share your side of the story and be heard to open up the possibility of being able to get their side of the story?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that maybe that's what we talk about in our next podcast. We, you know, we generously offer somebody that is a female in this case, perhaps, and even a man that's been raped before, you know, like people, if they go to jail, some people get, you know,
right.
bad stuff happens.
Right.
But maybe we start with the female, since, you know, we've already had our conversation in this podcast. We start with the woman that has had that experience, ask her what that was like for her, and then be in the inquiry of like all of that, and then ask her what would it be like for the man to have done that and then have to be dealing with himself.
Well, and that's, I mean, it's like, that terrifies me. Like, yeah. Right now, how I feel right now is because I cannot fathom what that was like. And yeah. And what's interesting is like the conversation that floats around that you and I have been a part of through our community a couple times is as men trying to understand the day to day what it's like for women.
Yeah.
Because it's so, for me, 6'4", I mean, I remember as a kid, I got picked on a couple times and there was a sense of feeling threatened.
Mm-hmm.
But past sixth grade, I mean, every once in a while, I'll be out in a garage and whatever, but I'm like, but as soon as there's a fear, what's right behind it is, they're not going to pick on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an easy target.
Yeah.
And for women, it's the opposite. Sure. It's they're going to pick on me because yeah. I'm an easy target. And so they're constantly, because that's the other part too, is like I had shared before, I haven't been responsible for my speaking. Like, if there's a message that I have that I want to be heard, I have to speak it in order for it to be heard.
Sure.
So that's the other thing, is like, it hurts my heart to know that, it sort of saddens me that our community, for a long, according to what women are sharing, that they feel so not heard, they're not saying anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't work.
Yep.
Because how, if I have it that I'm a good man and you're a good man, and or like that there are men out there that want to do something about it, we can't fix a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So.
Otherwise, we end up creating it by trying to fix something that doesn't exist too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like,
we're going to look for a problem, and you always find what you're looking for.
Well, and the other side of this for me too, and I shared this with a female friend of mine the other day, but saying like, I don't know about you. I've dealt with, as a male, as a guy, dating. First date, second date, third date. The nervousness, like, I've felt this since I was young. I feel sensitive and I feel like I can feel their nervousness, even though early on I interpreted that nervousness as they didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, as I get older, I'm like, no, they actually do like me, but they're riding this fence of like, I like this guy, but I'm also maybe terrified because if it's the first or second date, you don't really know me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with all this stuff I can't even, that I personally can't contemplate. But then, there, you know, so you're reading signals, but dating is very cryptic, right? Very rarely do people say, I like you, would you please kiss me?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, and I've been, you know, I've felt like a nerd most of my life or a dork or whatever, but I figured I'd rather err on the side of respecting someone and being a dork as opposed to being an asshole and disrespecting someone. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go on a date with you and the first time I kiss you say, and we're talking about kissing here. We're not, I'm not even talking about sex.
Right.
But there was somebody I dated and I said, she goes, oh, I hate it when guys ask. And I'm like, well, it's your lucky day because that's what I do. And luckily at this point, I mean, this was like a year ago because I'm okay with owning that. But then speaking my side of like, you don't know what it's like to be a man.
Yeah.
I get it. You're terrified in this and that. And yeah, you want the romantic this and that. But what if I'm the creeper that doesn't read your cryptic messages
mm-hmm.
and I lay one on you, or even worse, I do more than that.
Yeah. And that's the funny part about being a creeper in your mind. It's probably like, well, I want to kiss you. I've been reading these books that say just go in for it versus asking her, like, be confident.
Exactly.
And then you go in for it and it's like a big freaking no. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. These books have been teaching me this. And now unintentionally you've become the creeper.
Exactly.
And that's not who you really are.
And then now they're left with that experience. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified of like having somebody feel that through kissing, let alone sex, right?
Yeah.
But then to get like, and then there's been other times where it's like you give into that. I don't, there's been times where I just, you know, move forward. But even with sex too, like when it came to that, it was like, I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement.
Yep.
And the what's interesting too is like hearing stories where, I don't know if people talk about it explicitly, but there's this sense of like, well, I you know, there was consent.
Totally.
And then it's like, right. And then it's like, you know, and that some of the solutions that are coming up of like apps or these different things, but it's like, again, it's like where, what happened to this world where people were people of their word and there was, but again, what I'm saying is like, there's not a verbal, there's like a, but also saying like, when I talked about this with this woman that I was dating and she was saying on my perspective was like, what if we change that? Mm-hmm. What if it becomes socially acceptable to not have it? Well, you just need to be able to get me.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not reliable. Because if I move forward and then all of a sudden, and it's like, because as soon as I start doing something, you say no. And then obviously if somebody says no, you should stop what you're doing. Or if they say stop, you should stop what they're doing. But it's just interesting to me of like, you, because I'd also said to another female friend of mine, it's amazing how much, that, you know, I've heard this, you know, that women value the dick or the asshole
mm-hmm.
or the guy that doesn't treat them well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's fine. But like, then who's going to be responsible for that?
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, how do we support each other? And like, how do we, and I'm all for it. I'm trying to be the guy that has it all where I'm nice and I'm courteous and I treat you well and your parents are going to love me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a dork and I'm not a nerd and you're going to find me interesting and you're going to find me to have my own personality and want to do things with you and have courage and confidence in all these things.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, like I can relate to, you see these guys that are upset because they're not receiving the physical affection they want because they don't have those skills. They don't know how to relate to women or talk to women. And again, that's the other side of like, okay, I want to listen to women and understand their point of view, but there's always two sides to any story. So it's just interesting.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So
totally. Thanks for sharing that, by the way.
No, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean,
that's crazy. When you told me that last week, I was like, and I think you told me a while back, but I was like, what? And then what's interesting too is like, that's the beginning of understanding someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a friend out there, so for everybody listening, if you have a friend that you think you know, right? A true friend from childhood, that's your best friend, that whatever they went through, you were there through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm.
But if you met somebody in college or you met somebody when you're 30, most likely you think you know them. And so if you think you know them, you're going to listen in a certain way. But as soon as they share something, it completely changes the context. Like,
how
I know you now is like, oh, wow. And then there's like, but what's interesting too is like when you share authentically, it actually inspires me to listen.
Yeah.
Because if when you're telling me your truth that I can tell, like I can just feel it, that to me is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't, it's like when I go on Facebook and I, these videos and people are talking about it and I get, okay, your concepts and this and that, but share with me what's like for you. I mean, I can hear it. If there's a discourse and people are yelling, you don't have to say it. I can feel it.
Yeah.
But then it's like, but we got to get to what it was really like.
Mm-hmm.
Not the, what I'm thinking about, blah, blah, blah. No. What was it like? And it's not easy to talk about. Right? It wasn't fun. I don't want to go back there and remember it. And if we can actually be with it and learn from it and start to appreciate the, you know, when I was a kid, I was ashamed that I got caught shoplifting and these dumb things I did. Now, yeah. I'm grateful that I learned those lessons.
Yeah.
And I'm super grateful I learned when I was 7 and 8 years old.
Yeah.
Because I had other friends that as they got older were doing dumb stuff, and then you get in real trouble.
Yeah.
Like when the world says, no, you definitely know better.
Yeah. By the time you're 18, you're an adult, buddy.
Exactly. But 8 years old, you can still play the I don't know what I'm doing card.
Yeah. Even though I feel like at some level you probably know.
Well, and there's, you don't have to be a super genius kid to know. But it's funny, too, because it's like you're also, as a kid, you don't know well enough that you're willing to test those boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, and also because I didn't know. The first day I got caught shoveling, I actually had money for the thing. But still, I'm trying to maximize resources, and the best way to maximize resources is steal shit.
Yeah.
It's not good for the store owner, but that's the thing. Is like, you know, adults enlighten you to, well, what would it be like? And it's like, oh, I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
If that was my store and I'm trying to make a living, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, if I steal candy, not a big deal, but if everybody starts doing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Okay, cool. Then I shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
So no, thanks for sharing that. And it's you know, again, it's like, that's what it's fun about talking about this, because I also find it cathartic.
Mm.
Like for me to, I just know personally, it's not easy to talk about things that are difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So if I practice dealing with it, I can share, and then I am now giving a voice to, just like you see that's happening when a woman has the courage, especially amidst the fear of like, I'm not going to be heard and, you know, whatever those fears are, but they do it anyways. It then gives people a voice to have their side of the story heard. So for you to share, because you're not the only one.
Yeah.
You're not the only person. And it's like to join in and ultimately say like, okay, cool. Not cool, actually, but like, great. This is insufficient for the society we all want.
Yeah.
We want leaders that are not accused of this, but because it's proven that they didn't do anything shady. We want people that are supported that when they make a decision, they're responsible for their choice.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It's, you know, both of those things are challenging, especially when we're growing up, right? Like, all of us, I did pretty good, like, inside of making those mistakes when I was in elementary school, by the time I was in high school, I was so afraid. I was a loner. Like, I was on the golf team and I didn't go to any parties because I was like, just stay out of trouble.
Yeah, that's so funny. Interesting. So we're coming towards the end of our agreement to talk for today. Is there anything else you want to say about this podcast for what's not being heard?
Well, the other thing I'd like to say is like, is what I realized from this, what I've been realizing more and more and more, is that I speak to what I don't want. And that's why I'm not heard.
Because
if I want to be heard for what matters to me, but I speak about what I dislike or what I don't care about or what I don't want more of, it's no wonder it gets misinterpreted. It's actually not misinterpretation.
Mm-hmm.
People are hearing what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so there's like, so I, you know, to finish the conversation, it's like, to